This is NHPR News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. On June 3rd, 2009, Governor John Lynch signed a law allowing gay marriage in New Hampshire. At the time, the Granite State made history as the first state to pass a same-sex marriage bill without a court order or the threat of one. But before the first I do was uttered, some groups and lawmakers vowed to overturn the law. Last year, bills aimed at doing just that were tabled to focus in on the budget. But this year, House Bill 437 is making its way through the State House. It would end gay marriage in the state while allowing for civil unions between any two willing people. If passed, New Hampshire would make history once again by being the first state where a legislature reverses its own gay marriage law. Activity on this issue from both sides has been strong. Interest groups for and against have promised to do whatever it takes to get their way. Meanwhile, in his recent State of the State address, Governor Lynch said he would, in his words, oppose legislation that would strip any of our citizens of their civil rights. Recent gay marriage battles across the country have coincided with New Hampshire's debate, with gay marriage laws signed in both Maryland and Washington state, while in New Jersey a bill was passed but vetoed by Governor Chris Christie. Today in The Exchange, we revisit the gay marriage debate, and let's hear from you. Do you think the Granite State's same-sex marriage law should be overturned or not? Are you gay and married? If passed, how would this bill might affect you? Would civil unions be a better compromise for everyone? And how do you think the rights of churches who may object to gay marriage versus the power of state law should fit in this case? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. You can email us at exchange@nhpr.org, and you can also join us on Facebook. We have two state representatives in studio who've been involved in this issue. David Pierce is with us, a Democratic state representative from Aetna. And David, nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Good morning, Laura, and thank you so much for bringing this to the public's attention.
Well, and Representative David Bates is here, too. He's a Republican from Windham. And Representative Bates, thank you also for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Laura. I'm pleased to be here today.
Well, I want to start with you, Representative Bates. You've been active on this issue. Why do you feel that New Hampshire's gay marriage law needs to be repealed?
Well, I believe that it was improper for the definition of marriage to have been changed in our law back in 2009 to begin with. I take the whole concept of gay marriage or same-sex marriage as an oxymoron, a contradiction in terms, because marriage is fundamentally the union of a man and a woman. And so the definition that has been put into our marriage law is just simply illegitimate.
And would your bill replace the gay marriage law with civil unions? How would that work?
The fundamental purpose of the bill is to return to the proper meaning of marriage in our state statutes, defining it as the union of a man and a woman. And then to facilitate equal rights for everybody, it will reinstitute civil unions as well.
And what would be the what would those civil unions look like? Would they have the same rights and responsibilities that the gay marriage law has?
Exactly. That phrase, almost word for word, as you just mentioned it, is in the bill, that the parties to a civil union will be entitled to all the rights, privileges, and responsibilities of those who have been joined in marriage.
I want to turn to you, too, Representative Pierce. This argument has been made that, look, marriage has been between a man and a woman for thousands of years, and that shouldn't change. I wonder how you feel about that.
I actually agree with Representative Bates that the term gay marriage is an oxymoron. When you think about marriage, it's marriage. I don't gay park my car. Representative Bates doesn't straight go to the grocery store. It's marriage. And so the term gay marriage, it's marriage equality. It's recognizing equality, the dignity of everyone here in New Hampshire.
What do you feel about, though, the fundamental concern that marriage, the word marriage, means man and woman, has for thousands of years, and you're seeking to change that?
The word marriage is, I think, at its fundamental core, a religious term, and I think Representative Bates would agree with me on that. And what is at issue here is that the state has the power, the authority, to regulate marriage as a civil contract rather than a religious contract. And the equality law that we passed in 2009 is very clear, very specific about extensive protections for religious liberty. I said on the House floor in 2009, I would stand alongside with Representative Bates for his right, for his church to slam the doors in my face. They should not have to marry a couple that they believe would not conform to their doctrine, because I think a government big enough to force him to open his doors is a government that's big enough to close my church's doors.
So for you, Representative Pierce, marriage is a civil concept.
It is
not
both,
a religious concept.
It is both a religious and a civil concept. Marriage, I grew up with the idea that marriage is a sacrament. It's a manifestation of God's will. That's my religious tradition, God's grace. And that, but the state is relegated to the public sphere. The state cannot regulate and decide for itself, decide for its citizens what marriage cannot be for a group of its citizens. There's a floor amendment that we expect to come in on the marriage bill that would take the state completely out of the business of marriage. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but I think it is an acknowledgement by a large part of the legislature that marriage is very distinct between the religious aspect and the state aspect.
Can you jump in there to Representative Bates, please?
Yeah, sure. Representative Pierce has just said a lot of things, but let me try to back up as much as possible, best as I can remember, to the beginning. And David and I actually, we agree on a lot of things. We disagree on many, but we do agree on a lot of things. But he mentioned in the beginning that we would probably agree on this concept of marriage being religious in nature. And actually, I do not. I mean, obviously, there's a religious aspect to it. But what we're talking about with respect to the state statutes clearly is marriage as a civil institution. And as you've already noted, that has always been recognized as the union of a man and a woman. And the state's ability to put parameters on marriage have always been recognized. In fact, even in the marriage equality bill that is currently statute now in our state laws, which Representative Pierce was one of the prime proponents of, even that bill – that law has seven relationships that are prohibited under the so-called marriage equality law. So there's a clear acknowledgement the state has the ability, it is proper in certain situations to put parameters around what we will recognize as marriage. And, up until 2009, or actually January 2010, one of those prohibitions has always been marriage between people of the same sex. And because that's fundamentally not what marriage is. So the state absolutely has an interest in marriage, particularly because the procreative potential of a opposite-sex union. That's probably the most significant, if not only, reason the state has an interest in any union. And clearly the institution of marriage is the primary vehicle through which societies – have always propagated themselves, and the state has an interest in that. So,
although there are plenty of people who get married and don't have kids.
Absolutely. It's not a prerequisite to marriage. It is the acknowledgement of the procreative ability or potential for a heterosexual union that is the only reason why the state has a compelling interest in that relationship. And again, the state has – it's society's prerogative to draw certain – parameters upon what we will and will not acknowledge as marriage. And again, as I said, the current law with Representative Pierce's support has prohibited, I think it's seven different relationships. So clearly it's proper, it's appropriate, and we don't view any of those things as bigotry and inappropriate discrimination or hateful, like all the things that are said about those of us who say that same-sex marriages or unions should not be recognized as a marriage, because that's not what they in their essence are.
So many more questions, gentlemen, but I also want to invite our listeners to join us. Calls are coming in already. The phone number here on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Today in the exchange, we're digging into the gay marriage debate that has been going on at the State House this year. A vote will be coming sometime soon. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Send us an email if you'd like to. Keep them short, theexchange@nhpr.org. And gentlemen, let's go to Meredith. Carla is joining us from there. Hi, Carla. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Laura. Thanks. I love the exchange. And I would also like to thank the New Hampshire legislature who did pass marriage equality. I was actually able to get married last year after a 22-year relationship. My question is for both Representative Bates and Pierce. If you had a daughter who came to you and said, "Dad, I'm gay, and I want to marry my partner," how would you respond? Thank you, Laura.
Carla, thank you for calling in. And Representative Bates, I'll throw that one to you first.
Well, you know, it goes back to what this whole debate is about. The fundamental, you know, question here is, what is marriage? And, you know, if I had a daughter who said that she wants to be married, then, you know, by the proper meaning of the word, that would mean that she would need to pursue a relationship with somebody of the opposite gender. But to, if you're a person's choice, if their preference is to be with somebody of the same sex, then they are, by that decision, precluding themselves from being married. They can have a relation. I mean, let me make clear, the bill that I've filed does not prevent anybody from having a relationship with whoever they choose. It just simply says, if you choose to have a relationship and you want to live together and, you know, whatever, with pursue happiness or however you want to characterize it, with somebody of the same sex, then that decision precludes you from being married, because marriage in its essence is the union of a man and a woman.
Representative Pierce, go ahead.
I have two girls, Emma, age 7. Her birthday party's tomorrow. She'll be 8. Gracie, age 3. If one of them came to me and said they are gay or lesbian, and they're lesbian and they want to marry their same-sex partner, I guess I think the listeners can imagine how I'd react to that. I need to make the point that when my daughters grow up and they come to understand what discrimination is, what government unequal treatment of its citizens is, I don't want them to understand that they've been the targets of this, that their parents have become the targets of it, and so therefore they've become the targets, because this law, this repeal law, hurts children, it hurts families, it tears them apart, it doesn't support them.
Thanks for that call, Carla, and we'll take more of your calls after a very short break. So if you're on the line, stay there. We'll get to you. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. We're going to take just a moment to check in with our March membership drive.
Who are NHPR's members?
Hi, I'm Will Dismukes.
And I'm Jeannie Dismukes from Newbury, New Hampshire.
My name is Barbara Schult, and I live in Goffstown, New Hampshire.
They're pilots and teachers. They're waiters and plumbers. They're farmers and accountants.
My name is Marion Walker Linsky, and I live in Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
My name is Gray Chinoweth, and I currently live in Manchester.
They're parents and grandparents. They're students and young professionals. They're 9-year-olds listening from the back seat of the car.
My name is Lily Pookie Jacobson, and I'm from Warner and New London.
But first and foremost, NHPR members are listeners. Maybe for a couple of minutes a day, maybe for a couple of hours a day, but they understand that they need to take responsibility for the listening they do. And they have. Now it's your turn.
1-888-805-6477, nhpr.org. Good morning, I'm Abby Goldstein. I'm the Vice President for Programming here. I'm with our Morning Edition host, Rick Ganley. We are working on a challenge trying to raise $20,000 by noon today. And when we hit that mark, we'll receive an additional $5,000 from an anonymous donor. And Rick, we're making amazing headway here, but we have just a couple of hours left to hit this goal, and $8,200 left to raise. So we're counting down at this point. $8,200 left to raise. Your gift right now will make a big difference. 1-888-805-6477.
Yeah, everybody doing their part, Abby, and we'll get to that goal in no time at all. 1-888-805-6477. We're sitting here, we're listening to the exchange along with you, and, you know, you take today's exchange topic, gay marriage in New Hampshire, a highly relevant, current hot-button issue in the state. You know, the exchange has tackled this subject in the past, and that, it's perfect evidence that, you know, with NHPR, with the exchange, we stay with the story. We stay with the story. We follow it. You hear the many facets of it. NHPR stays with the topic and presents many sides over time. That's what you listen to public radio for. So many topics need much more than just sound bites. And, you know, it requires a deep, thoughtful discussion. It's exactly what you hear daily with Laura and her guests on the exchange. So if you believe in that, I'm sure you do, because that's why you're listening. Give us a call right now and support that type of programming. 1-888-805-6477. 1-888-805-6477. You can also pledge online at nhpr.org.
Yeah, it's not the first time we've talked about this topic, and it won't be the last time. And, you know, I was just in the studio talking to the producer, Ellen Grimm. So after the show is over, she's going back to her desk to book the show for Monday. There's no show booked for Monday right now. They have a big erasable board in the cubicle area for the exchange. It's got a calendar on it. They look at a month at a time. They refer to that board, that whiteboard, as the beast. And this is a 5-day-a-week show, which means that they have to feed that beast. And Keith Shields and Ellen Grimm are the beast masters. They are making sure that there are relevant topics every day of the week, that just the right guests have been booked. They engage in daily editorial discussions about what the next day's show and the show after that is going to be. So your support right now goes to all that behind-the-scenes work. When you turn on the radio and you listen to The Exchange, know that there were weeks of work that go into making this show possible. So make that call right now, 1-888-805-6477 or online, nhpr.org.
Don't grab the tail of the beast. It gets a little feisty. You know, as you flashed around your NHPR member card this year, you probably noticed there's an expiration date on it. And there's an easy way to get rid of that. There's an easy way to fix that. You can get a brand new member card, good for another year of discounts and other benefits at restaurants, hotels, and stores all around the state, as well as online. So you can renew your membership right now. It's easy, really easy to do. A $100 pledge is all it takes. We'll send you a brand new shiny membership card. It's got that new card smell on it. You're going to love it. 1-888-805-6477. 1-888-805-6477.
And online at nhpr.org. Rick, this morning we have heard from 100 people so far. That is tremendous news. There are thousands of listeners, so you can join in with the people that have already made their donations. By the way, if you made your gift this morning, thank you so much for helping us move quickly on this challenge. We're trying to raise $20,000 by noon today to receive an additional $5,000 from an anonymous donor. So your gift will go much further. Your $100 donation right now is worth $125. Your $120 donation is worth $150. 1-888-805-6477 or make your gift online at nhpr.org.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Grupponi Auto Group, featuring multiple lines of fuel-efficient, environmentally friendly cars at Grupponi Auto Junction in Bow and online 24 hours a day at grupponi.com. And Cedar Crest Center for Children with Disabilities, short and long-term care, special education, and therapy services for children with complex medical and developmental needs. CedarCrestCenter.org. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at efforts in the New Hampshire legislature to repeal New Hampshire's gay marriage law. We invite you to join us with your thoughts, questions, comments. 1-800-892-6477. By the way, the proposal that we're looking at would include civil unions for same-sex couples and other committed adults. Our number, 1-800-892-6477. The email exchange at nhpr.org. Also, The Exchange is now on Facebook. So we hope you go to our page, join the conversation there. With me in studio, two state representatives long involved in this issue, David Bates, Republican state representative from Windham, and David Pierce, a Democratic state representative from Aetna. And a couple more questions for you, gentlemen, before we return to our callers. And David Pierce, this one's for you. As I mentioned, the proposal that Representative Bates has put on the table would include civil unions. Marriages that are currently on the books would revert to civil unions. Why is that not good enough? Why is that not a reasonable compromise?
Because separate is not equal. We've learned that. We have a 100-year history of understanding that separate is not equal. The sole purpose of the repeal bill, the repeal law, would be to separately designate gay and lesbian couples as something different, something strange, something other. In our law, that's the exact sole purpose, is to take away the label of marriage. And I don't believe that Representative Bates would be fighting so hard to give these relationships another name if he didn't think it was important. But also, I believe that, you know, the common ground in here is that he and I believe in the fundamental importance of marriage. We just have different views of what it means.
Well, and I want to get to Representative Bates on that in just a moment. But another question for you, Representative Pierce. Why is that label so important to you?
Again, they wouldn't be fighting so hard for it if it wasn't important. They wouldn't be fighting to withhold the term. They wouldn't be fighting to withhold the designation of marriage if it wasn't important.
How hard is it for you to sit here and talk about this, given your own situation? You've got a partner, you've got two daughters. This is emotional for you.
It's very emotional. And I'll be honest, I had to take a Tums on the way in because it is personal. I don't believe it's personal from Representative Bates, but it affects my life. I'm frankly tired of my life being used as a political football, and it affects my life, and it is personal for me. My daughters are personal for me. Repeal would harm my children. And in New Hampshire, we don't take away rights. We don't give rights and then designate a group from within the group that has the same rights as saying, you, no more, get out.
What do you think, Representative Bates? This is about equality for Representative Pierce, real fundamental issue here.
Yeah, I understand that. And it relates back again to, you know, the point I keep making, what is the meaning of marriage? And if we understand marriage as the union of a man and a woman, if you accept that premise, these complaints about inequality, discrimination, and all of those sort of things, they evaporate. It goes away because, as I said, the law, if it's properly defined with a true meaning of marriage, those who pursue relationships with somebody of the same sex are, by their decision, choosing not to be married. And Representative Pierce is an attorney, and he understands for there to be a valid claim that equal protection under the law is being denied, that it's necessary that the parties making that claim are similarly situated to those who are, you know, claiming to be, you know, just treating different from them. And it should be self-evident that a couple who is comprised of two people of the same gender is qualitatively different than the union or a couple that are of opposite sex. And it all relates back to the procreative power of a heterosexual union. So clearly they're not similarly situated. Okay, there's a fundamental difference between a same-sex couple and an opposite-sex couple. And the procreative ability of a same-sex couple is, once again, why the state is involved or has any interest in that marriage to begin with. And so for the state to have a separate designation or a status for those who have a relationship of somebody with the same gender, it's perfectly appropriate, and it's not discriminating against them.
You know, U.S. Senator Jeanne Shaheen this week called for the Democratic Party to include support for gay marriage in the 2012 platform. You said, Representative Bates, in the newspapers that these are out of the mainstream viewpoints. Two national polling organizations found otherwise. Gallup found support for gay marriage at 53%. Pew was a little bit lower, 46% in favor, 44% opposed. What about this idea, Representative Bates, that the parameters that you and I talked about at the beginning of the hour, marriage is between a man and a woman, that those parameters are changing, that the American public is kind of moving this way, at least if you buy these polls?
Well, that's an important premise. I'm not sure that I entirely buy the polls. A lot of focus has been placed on the UNH poll in particular. But I think John DeStasso got it right in his Union Leader article. I think it was December 21st or 22nd when he commented on the different polls that are out there that report opposite results essentially relating to the same question. And he recognize that it all comes down to how the question is asked. You know, if you poll an audience and ask, you know, do you believe in marriage equality, or should gays have the same rights as, you know, marriage rights, you know, as heterosexual couples? And of course, you're going to get a large percentage saying yes. If you poll the, you know, essentially the same audience and you ask, do you believe marriage is or should remain the union of a man and a woman, you're going to see the numbers flip. And it breaks down roughly 60-40 in real rough numbers. And it all depends on how you ask the question. If you look, though, at the irrefutable evidence of how the people of this nation, New Hampshire, but the nation at large as well, every place where this question of what the definition of marriage ought to be was put to a popular vote, in every case, the people have come back and said that marriage should remain the union of a man and a woman. 31 states have voted on that now. 30 of them have put the definition of marriage as a union of a man and a woman into their state constitution. There's 11 or 12 others that have it in statute. And two more states are going to be voting on constitutional amendments this year. North Carolina and Minnesota will both be voting on constitutional amendments. So the evidence is clear that the people across the country believe marriage should remain the union of a man and a woman.
I want to ask both of you about the national context of this in just a minute, but let's go back to our callers. Again, the number here in the exchange for you to join us this hour in our conversation on New Hampshire's gay marriage law, efforts to restore traditional marriage, as David Bates says, overturn the gay marriage law, as supporters of it say. 1-800-892-6477 is our number. And gentlemen, let's go to Contoocook next. Renee's been waiting. Hi, Renee. Thanks for hanging on.
I'd like to speak to the point of marriage always being a certain way, because I remember in the 1960s when women were told that firefighters have always been male, clergy have always been male, women have always been best in the home, it's best for society. And if you go to the 1800s, they were told there have always been slaves. Go back before Jesus, there have always been slaves. So that argument has been used to discriminate against so many people, and the state has an interest in not discriminating against its citizens. So I would hope it would open, people would open their minds, as I think they are all over the country, to the idea that it's always been this way is not a good argument to discriminate.
So societal norms changing, Renee. David Bates, real quickly, what do you think about that? You know, will we look back at this debate 100 years from now and go, wow, how could they think that way? That seems to be the point that she's making.
I can't tell you what people will think in 10 years, never mind 100 years from now.
That's probably a safe position
to
be in.
But, you know, to respond to that, there's no question that certain characteristics or cultural practices about marriage have changed and evolved over the years, over the centuries, over the millennia. But one thing that has not changed is that ever since the dawn of human civilization in every culture, every nation around the world, marriage has always consisted of men and women. And that is one essential element about marriage that has never changed. And if it were to change, it wouldn't be marriage any longer. So,
getting back to your earlier point.
Yeah, exactly.
Gay marriage, you feel, is an oxymoron because marriage is between a man and a woman. You know, before we go to another call, gentlemen, we talked earlier about the debate going on in other states, and Representative Bates mentioned the discussion that's been happening in other states. Representative Pierce, to you, we have been hearing a lot about gay marriage outside New Hampshire. Maryland just passed it. New Jersey's governors vetoed it. California keeps going back and forth. It's hard to figure out where California is on this. How is that discussion outside New Hampshire affecting people's thoughts and feelings here inside?
In New Hampshire is really my sole concern. Representative Bates referred to the UNH polls. The polls right now show in New Hampshire the people believe we shouldn't take away rights. The numbers are 62% favor marriage equality, 29% oppose it. But when you break down those numbers, the crosstabs, as it's called, those who strongly oppose repeal outnumber those who strongly support repeal by more than 2-1. Representative Bates made the point also that whenever the people get to vote on this, they reject it. Well, Representative Bates was the leader, the prime mover and shaker, as I like to call him, on an effort in 2010 to let the people vote and led a statewide effort to get the question of marriage on the ballot.
Would that have been a good idea?
Well, he did it. In the town warrants, but there are the 73 of the towns in New Hampshire couldn't even gather the 25 signatures to put it on the ballot. 80 towns rejected even a discussion of it, saying it was so ridiculous that it's not worth their time. 59 towns did support the warrants. And so let the people vote. May be different in other states. New Hampshire may be an aberration on that point, but I'm glad New Hampshire is an aberration on that point. New Hampshire was the second state to enshrine equality in our federal constitution. Connecticut was first. 11 days later, New Hampshire ratified the Equal Protection Clause back in the 1860s. And New Hampshire has always been on the forefront of this fight. And I will note that Representative Bates, back in 2010, led the effort of, quote, let the people vote. This year, he was quoted as saying, I didn't hear him say it, but he was quoted as saying, I don't think that the people should vote on this. Because, and in consequence, he withdrew a proposed constitutional amendment for that reason.
So should we let the people vote, Representative Bates, on this to settle the matter once and for all? Polls can say one thing or the other. What do you think?
Sure, absolutely. And let me just back up again I want to comment on what David just said regarding the petition initiative that I did back in 2010. And his perspective on that is a perfect example of how statistics and facts and figures can be kind of spun different ways. You know, his focus was on the places where people did not vote on the petition.
The towns.
Where the article was not voted on. I think what is noteworthy and what I'm most interested in is what the people actually said, the ones who voted on the article. And the fact of the matter is, statewide, the results of that, if you count the votes where the citizens voted on the Warner article, I think it was 61.3% were in favor of it.
Of repeal.
Where the article said, should the citizens of New Hampshire be given the opportunity to vote on a constitutional amendment defining marriage? And I think it was 61.3% of the citizens who voted on that language said yes. And I think even more interesting is because of the dynamics that go on at town meetings, a lot of places the article was tabled and never voted on the actual article itself. But in places where the vote was done on an official ballot, the SB2 towns, every single SB2 town where people weren't intimidated at a town meeting and being worried about being viewed as bigots and homophobes and all those sort of things. When they could go into the privacy of the ballot booth and check the box on an official ballot, every single one of those towns passed that article. And again, on a statewide basis, it was over 60% were in favor of that. So I think New Hampshire is not the aberration of the nation. I think that the will of the people here in New Hampshire is just as it would be in the rest of the country. We want to preserve marriage as a union of a man and a woman. And I would certainly support that going to the entire state on a ballot initiative.
So just to make sure I've got it crystal clear, Representative Bates, the question before folks wasn't repeal gay marriage, yes or no. It was, should this be a constitutional amendment question?
Yes.
That everybody has the chance
That's right.
to chime in on. Okay. We will take more of your calls. Stay on the phone if you're there. You can join us at 1-800-892-6477. A real quick check now with our March membership drive.
And good morning and welcome to the March Fund Drive. I'm Rick Ganley, host of Morning Edition here at NHPR, alongside our Vice President of Programming, Abby Goldstein, and we are inviting you to give us a call right now and support the public radio station you listen to. 1-888-805-6477, or you can go to nhpr.org. We've got a great challenge on the table right here, Abby. When we raise $20,000 by noon today, we'll receive $5,000 in additional money from an anonymous donor. The great news, Abby, we've got just $7,500 to go.
That's amazing. Let's see if we can get to the $7,000 mark with just five people at the $100 level. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org. Today's discussion, gay marriage, hot button issue. These two guests today clearly have a fundamental difference of opinion on this issue. They were a little nervous coming in here today, but here we are having a civil, adult, non-confrontational discussion about an issue that causes most people with a difference of opinion to yell at each other. Civility is something that is incredibly important to us here at New Hampshire Public Radio. It's incredibly important to you that we be able to disagree with each other without it devolving into a yelling match. And and to get those differences of opinions out on the table so we can find some common ground. Make that call right now to support this particular style of discussion, 1-888-805-6477, nhpr.org.
And the good news is when you do that today, you are helping us with this goal of getting to $20,000 by noon, because when we raise that, it'll help us stay on track to end the drive early, which I know we all want to do. Now, if we beat that goal, we can end the drive earlier still. So what does that mean? What does that $20,000 mean that we would get by noontime today? Well, what that would mean is about 4 months of phone bills here at the radio station. It would be a full year of hosting services for our website. That $20,000 goes a long way to keeping the statewide service strong and coming at you 24 hours a day. It'll cover a lot of expenses that we incur to bring you this programming. So we need your help in raising that money. We need your help to reach this goal. We've got just a couple of hours to do it, and we've got $7,500 to go. We know we can do that with your help right now. 1-888-805-6477. 1-888-805-6477.
Give us a call right now. Make a $100 donation and help us get to the $7,000 mark in our countdown. 1-888-805-6477. That $100 gift with this challenge is really worth $125 because there's additional money going on top of it. It breaks down to like $8.30 a month, so it's pretty affordable. And we'll send you the member card. And that member card gets you discounts at restaurants, attractions, retailers. Now there's some hotels that are doing discounts all over the state, the region, even nationally. So all you have to do is use that member card once a month, and it will pay for itself. And I guarantee you'll use it more than once a month. 1-888-805-6477. You know, you can take a look at all the benefits of the member card when you go to our website, nhpr.org.
$7,300 to go. Help us reach this goal. We need you right now. 1-888-805-6477. A little special bonus. Everyone who donates today will be entered to win a special Public Radio Lovers Washington, D.C. trip for two. That's a fantastic trip that you could win. That's, you'll be able to travel with Betsy Gardella, NHPR's president and CEO, as well as Virginia Prescott. She's host of Word of Mouth. All kinds of great events happening on this trip. You'll be meeting with Diane Rehm. You'll meet the new NPR CEO. You can tour the NPR studios. There's all kinds of fantastic benefits with that. You can't win it if you're not in it, as we like to say. So give us a call right now, 1-888-805-6477, 1-888-805-6477, and thanks.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Integrated Solar, providing solar electricity, geothermal, and solar hot water to southern New Hampshire and Vermont since 1975. Information at isasolar.com. And UNH Manchester, offering liberal arts majors with science, technology, and an urban focus. UNH Manchester is UNH. Information at manchester.unh.edu. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Knoy. Today in The Exchange, same-sex marriage in New Hampshire and efforts to reverse the Granite State same-sex marriage law. Join us with your comments, thoughts, questions. Call in 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. We've got two state representatives in the studio long involved in this issue, David Bates, Republican from Windham, and David Pierce, Democrat from Aetna. And gentlemen, let's go right back to our callers who've been waiting. John is in Sharon, Vermont. Hi, John. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? My problem is the definition they're using for marriage. To me, to marry means to join together. I don't think there's any sexual connotation involved. I think that in a religious term, to marry might mean a man and a woman. But when it comes to the state, I don't believe that that definition should be involved. I think that to marry is just to join together no matter what sex, and that's the way it should be defined.
Okay, John, thanks a lot for calling in. You know, this raises a question in my mind, Representative Bates, that came up earlier. You said, look, the state discriminates, if you put it that way, all the time. There are seven categories of marriage in the current marriage equality law that are not allowed, right? So,
yeah, that's correct. The caller correctly identified, as I said earlier, what the essence of this debate is over, and it's what is the meaning of marriage? How are we going to define it? That's what this entire issue is over, and the definition that we currently have adopted in statute, I believe, is inappropriate. It's an illegitimate definition of marriage. I think that the one that the caller offered is inadequate, just any two people being joined together. That's close to what the current law says. The current law says, you know, marriage is a union of any two people regardless of gender.
Well, but, what does it say that, who can't be married? What are those categories?
Yeah, well, again, the basic definition there is any two people regardless of gender can be married. But then they go on to list the seven exceptions seven relationships that are prohibited from marrying, and some of the most obvious would be, you know, parents and children, you know, brothers and sisters, and you know, aunts, uncles, even to first cousins. So, I mean, all these close relationships we have always prohibited from being married, and even now, as I said earlier, in the so-called marriage equality law, these unions are still prohibited. We will not if somebody in some close relatives choose to, you know, be joined together as the caller defined marriage. If marriage is nothing more than two people joining together, well, that can happen. But society, he says, we will not recognize that as a marriage. And I think that's very appropriate. It's very proper. And I don't consider, you know, you used the word discrimination earlier. I don't consider that discrimination, because discrimination would be when we adopt a law and we do not apply it equally to everyone. But when we adopt a law that says this is what marriage is and that applies equally to everyone, that's not discrimination. That we have reasonable parameters around what society deems is appropriate to recognize and not recognize as marriage. And, you know, society has always said we don't recognize the union of two siblings. That's not going to be a legitimate marriage in the eyes of society. And when marriage was redefined to say that any two people, regardless of gender, can be married, there's no rational basis, and I'm still waiting for somebody to answer, why is it now that two brothers cannot be married? If two people of the same gender can be married, why cannot two brothers be married?
Can you address that, Representative Pierce, the slippery slope, and that there are some reasonable exemptions, as Representative Bates says?
Sure. I think that the incest argument that Representative Bates is putting forward, I can't imagine he'd be in favor of amending the laws to include incestuous relationships. But comparing marriage between two people who want to dedicate their lives to each other in a loving, committed relationship, akin to what marriage has always meant, is apples and galoshes with the incestuous relationships that Representative Bates is talking about. And I think more to the point is that, you know, we've been inundated since 2009 with emails, phone calls, you know, newspaper editorials advocating for marriage equality. I have never once heard anyone, and Representative Bates and I are on the same page on this, I've never heard anyone saying, let's let parents get married, or parents and children get married. Let's let sisters and you know, siblings get married. That's not the issue. Again, apples and galoshes.
You know, you mentioned that you've been inundated by outside influences or outside opinions. How much, both of you, you first, Representative Pierce, how much are outside groups playing in this gay marriage debate in New Hampshire?
I don't know specifically, and I don't believe Representative Bates probably knows either. I know on the pro-repeal side, the organization, National Organization for Marriage, had put in a lot of money into the 2010 races, specifically targeting Governor Lynch for his decision to sign the marriage equality law. I know that the National Organization for Marriage did a bus tour, I believe, in 2010 all across the country, and they stopped here in New Hampshire. I don't know what resources they're pouring into the state this time. That's just beyond my knowledge.
Do you think that they will? I mean, we've seen this in other states where outside groups on both sides come in and try and sway the way the vote goes.
Well, after the 2010 elections, they touted the sweeping change in the majorities in state legislatures, is particularly in states that recognize equality, that and they were giddy in announcing that, and even in New Hampshire, where marriage equality exists, we've elected a veto-proof majority, and marriage equality will go away. I don't know if they would take credit for it unless they had something to do with it.
Outside groups, Representative Bates, how much have they been playing a role? How much do you expect they will play a role?
Well, they absolutely do weigh in on both sides. As Representative Pierce said, I don't have any really firsthand knowledge of the actual numbers, you know, the magnitude of it. I have looked at the Secretary of State's website. I am aware that the group Standing Up for New Hampshire Families that was specifically organized to oppose this legislation, they've hired 8 lobbyists to work the issue. So they're clearly pouring some significant resources into it. I read recently that Mayor Bloomberg donated $50,000 to their cause. So there's definitely some money flowing in this area. With respect to National Organization for Marriage, I do know that, you know, they weighed in as well, not to the same magnitude. They don't haven't committed the same amount of resources. I know that they're actually being stretched quite thin because of all the other marriage battles going on around the state that they're trying to affect as well. So there's no question, just like every other significant issue of national importance, whether it's right to work or you know, abortion issues or whatever, you know, these national organizations are going to weigh in and try to move issues in the direction they think is most appropriate.
And Representative Bates, is there a date set yet for a vote on your bill?
Well, as you know, the House calendar is extremely full right now.
And I'm aware of that.
It's rather difficult to say with certainty when it's going to come up, but it'll be this month, sometime this month.
It has to be this month because then you change. It's called crossover day, where the House exchanges bills with the Senate and so forth.
Right. Right.
Yeah. You want to make a prediction about how it might go?
I believe it's going to pass
in the House
and in the Senate. And, you know, the real deciding factor will be whether or not the votes will exist to override the promised veto from the governor.
What do you think, Representative Pierce? Enough votes to override a veto?
I haven't taken my own poll, but I would say that's probably the way it's going to go. I think there is near certainty that there aren't enough votes to override the governor's veto.
That there are not enough
votes.
There
are not enough votes.
So you think enough Republicans will not go along with this?
This has always been a bipartisan effort to ensure equality, both in 2009 when the legislature passed the law. It was Republicans and Democrats working together. When repeal of equality goes through, it will again be a coalition of Republicans and Democrats working together to defeat that.
Representative Bates?
Well, you know, looking back to when the law passed, I think it's worth noting that the first vote on the bill failed. It failed by one vote, and then the Democrat Party moved for reconsideration. They were able to influence enough people to switch their votes, where they finally got it passed by a very slim majority. And, you know, to characterize this as a bipartisan sort of thing is really quite inaccurate. I mean, the Democrat Party votes almost exclusively as a bloc on this. Our party platforms are opposite on the issue. So, you know, there's always people who are going to cross over, and we don't all just mindlessly follow the dictates of the party platform or leadership. But it's for the most part, this is polarized down along party lines.
All right. Well, it'll be close.
But if it were, then there'd be no chance for repeal to sustain the governor's veto. And a 3-to-1 majority Republican-Democrat, and it is near certainty that we will not override the governor's veto. That would not happen, could not happen without bipartisan cooperation.
All right. Well, whatever happens, NHPR will be covering it. I can promise you that. I want to thank both of you very much for coming in today. David Pierce, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you very much, Laura.
That's David Pierce. He's a Democratic state representative from Aetna. And David Bates, thank you also for making the time for us today. I appreciate
it. You're not telling me the time is over, is it?
Hard to believe. David Bates, Republican state representative from Windham. And let's check in real quick now with that March membership drive.
Thank you, Laura. This is our March Fund Drive. I'm Abby Goldstein. I'm here with Rick Ganley. The number to call to support New Hampshire Public Radio and the Exchange is 1-888-805-6477. Or you can make your gift online at nhpr.org. We are working on a challenge this morning. When we raise $20,000 by noon today, we will receive an additional $5,000 from an anonymous donor. We are just $6,800 to go now to hit this goal. Let's see if we can hear from eight people making a $100 donation to put us at the 6,000 mark. 1-888-805-6477.
Give us a call right now. Support the programming that you've come to know and love. You know, we're kind of catching our breath after that conversation here in the Exchange because, you know, that's the kind of civil discourse, the kind of civil conversation that you've come to expect from New Hampshire Public Radio. And if you're an addict of that 1-2 combination of Laura Kanoy on the Exchange and the Diane Rehm Show that's coming up in just a few minutes, you know, it's a potent combination, that in-depth conversation of New Hampshire topics with the Exchange and then the national and international subjects covered on the Diane Rehm Show. Your membership right now will help us pay for these programs. And when you help us this morning with this goal that we have, your membership will go that much further because when we reach that goal, that $20,000 goal that Abby was talking about, we get that additional $5,000. Help your membership go that much further right now. 1-888-805-6477 or nhpr.org.
And, of course, the news roundup coming up in just a couple of moments. Lots of people's favorite on the Diane Rehm Show. And, you know, I was thinking about this from a financial perspective. National programs are a little bit less expensive for stations like us because they air on hundreds of radio stations. And each radio station pays a program fee. And so everybody pays a little bit. It adds up to pay for the cost of the show, much like our membership model, I might add. But the Exchange only airs on New Hampshire Public Radio. This is New Hampshire's public affairs discussion. And that means that NHPR shoulders all the financial responsibility for the production of this show. So the membership model is what makes it work because we all pay a small bit. Our